We probably all know someone who can't stand the sight of blood. The man who considered becoming an EMT but couldn't deal with the blood. Maybe the mom who nearly passes out just washing off her child's bloody knee. A friend who avoids any movie with gory scenes. Blood can make us extremely uncomfortable. But the blood of Jesus, or the death of Jesus, which was horrifically bloody, is a centerpiece of our salvation. We can't afford to close our eyes or to look away. 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us in starting in verse 18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ." And again, Paul tells us the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. Then again in Ephesians 2, 13, Paul tells the Ephesian church and us, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin, John tells us in 1 John 1, 7. In Revelation chapter 5, it records a somewhat bloody scene. As Dave has gone through this on Sunday evenings, the Apostle John is weeping because no one in the throne room of heaven is found worthy to open the scroll. But John is told, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll." Expecting the lion, John sees instead a lamb looking as if it had been slain. The lamb takes the book, and everyone falls down to worship him. They sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations." Jesus poured out his blood, his very life, to bring redemption, forgiveness, purification, and reconciliation. Jesus also ordained the way we could ponder and recall his sacrifice. He didn't ask us to read graphic descriptions. He didn't order reenactments. He didn't prescribe paintings or movies. He commanded of the drinking of the cup and the eating of the unleavened bread as they did in the Passover meal. He could have asked for slaying of lambs and told us to use their blood to paint the door frames, but because of his death, no more sacrifice is needed. None better could be offered. Our memorial is simple, but we cannot afford to forget that real blood was poured out. Real flesh was torn. As it says in the old hymn, "See from his head, his hands, and his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. By his wounds we are healed." Let's pray. Our Father and great God in heaven, we ask that you be with us now and watch over us as we partake of this meal that your Son left for us to remember him by. Remembering that he gave his life on that cross in a bloody and gruesome way so that we could have new life, so that we would be able to speak with you, so that we would be with you in heaven someday, and until we get to heaven, Father, that we could be a part of his church here on this earth. Thank you so very much for this opportunity that through your Son and his sacrifice, we can have all these things. Be with us now as we partake of this meal, the juice that represents the blood that he shed that day, and the bread that represents the body that was beaten and battered for us. Thank you for this opportunity, Father. Thank you for sending that lamb as the ultimate sacrifice for us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.